Good Saturday morning, St. Louis. Hey, it's August, and if you're here, you're tuned in to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. You made it. Appreciate you being here. I'm your host, Rich Orris, here for you every Saturday morning with practical advice and some expert tips to help keep your home in tip-top shape. Keep it as best as we can. And if you have something going on today you need a little bit of help with, you can call in live right now, 314-436-7900, with your questions about your maintenance, your repairs, maybe your dream remodeling projects. I'm here to tackle everything from squeaky doors to leaking roofs to bathroom makeovers and maybe some great big outdoor upgrade projects. If you're looking outside this morning, you know, you wouldn't know it's August. We said it's August, but we've got some sunny skies. It's cooling down, feeling better just for a little bit here. We've got some nice, dry, pleasant day, perfect for working on those outdoor jobs. And as the evening cools down, it's only going to get better to be out there. So whether you're prepping your deck, you're touching up exterior trim, troubleshooting your sprinkler system maybe, or just dreaming big about that next big outdoor renovation, today's a great day to get moving on that. Again, you can reach me right here, 314-436-7900. Grab your coffee, dial in, and let's make your home better together. Let's see who's first on the line here. We've got Colin calling in already. Colin, how you doing today?
Okay.
Good. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. My question is, I've got a River Rock drive, and it's, I've got a hole in it about 2 feet by 1 foot, and it's about 2 inches deep. And the reason the hole's there, I've got an L. When I pull into the driveway, I've got to take a left or a 90 to get in the garage. And as I keep spinning out of there, it's wore a hole in that River Rock drive. I just wonder if there's anything, can you put some a matching River Rock in that with concrete or some kind of epoxy or some kind of something to make it look halfway decent compared to just being a hole there.
I gotcha. So you're not talking about a gravel drive. You're talking about like an exposed aggregate concrete driveway.
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. It's concrete, but it's wore over the years. So the house is 50 years old. Yeah. Making that turn over the years, it's wore a hole there. And I just, you know, I could get a brush and brush it out and level it out with some matching River Rock.
Yeah.
And I don't know if to put some kind of concrete powder in there or if there's some kind of liquid stuff out there that you could put in there that would set it up, you know?
Yeah. I would look at trying to do it with concrete and using the same aggregate as that rock is. So you find that same River Rock and basically mix up concrete. And I would fill it with that, and then you do the same thing they did. You kind of smooth it out, and then as it sets up just right, you kind of wash off that top layer of concrete to expose that aggregate. Now, this will be a task you'll be into redoing, because if it took a lot of years for that tire turning to do that, and you've got a good 4-inch thick driveway and it's wearing it down like that over 30 years, 40 years, or even possibly more if your driveway is that old, when you fill that back in and it's only an inch, 2 inches thick, and it's going to be thinner, I'm sure, at the edges, and you're still turning to get in and out, it's going to be a repeated maintenance issue of trying to keep filling that thing back in. So I would probably keep some of that extra rock on hand so you can get more Portland cement, mix it up and dig it out and redo it every now and then, because what you put back in there, I would say, might only last a couple 2 to 5 years, depending on how much you utilize that driveway. The thinner that patch is, the more likely it's going to come back out of there. So
I see.
But okay, better than a whole driveway.
Pardon me?
I said it's better than a whole driveway or trying to do whole section. Try and just replace a section of the driveway, and that would make it last a lot longer. But then you'll have this one section that'll look somewhat different. That may be a way to go if you get frustrated with doing that patchwork.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thank you for your time.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Good question. Good call. And let's jump over to Al and see what's going on with Al.
Hi there.
Yeah. How can I help you out today?
Well, eventually I'm going to want to replace the gas water heater with one of those tankless models. And what I wanted to know is, does it have to be affixed to the wall, or can I build a 4x4 stud wall, or not stud wall, but 4x4 column, and mount it on there where the gas water heater was, and still using all the gas and hood that's all right there?
So that will usually, that will depend on how that new tankless water heater exhaust and gets rid of the carbon monoxide gases and the off gases that it's producing as it's heating. So most of those are put up against a wall because, you know, like a foundation wall, because they direct vent kind of right outside the house on the side of the house. And so it might not work. You got to watch the manufacturer's specifications of like how far away can that vent pipe go to get to the outside of the house. So if it's a big metal one, it usually goes up a couple feet. It takes a turn backwards and it goes through the band board and you're outside the house in about 3, 4, 5 feet of pipe. Now, they do make some that are like the furnaces, where it's the plastic pipes where it gets its air intake to it and exhaust through plastic PVC pipes. Those can go further. So some of those can actually go like through the first floor and out the roof, possibly. That might be a model that would work better, kind of building a wall or a couple posts and mounting it there where it exists. So the quick answer is yes, you could build something to mount that to, but you have to make sure you get that exhaust installed correctly at the right distance with the right amount of elbows. So you got to watch as you run this pipe to the outside. If you got to turn that pipe 4 times, well, each elbow is like 6 feet of exhaust pipe if it were straight. So if it says you can run your pipe 18 feet, that means 3 elbows and you're done. What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can only have a couple turns.
You only have 3 turns.
Yep. Exactly. So really your true answer is figuring out what's the unit and how does it vent, and then you can figure out if you could do it with what unit.
All right. Sounds great.
Yep. But I would say the gas water heater you have now with the 4-inch metal pipe, none of the new tankless water heaters will work with your existing 4-inch to the outside through the roof pipe that's there. That's too small.
Can you put you could run a PVC pipe up inside of that, can't you?
As a sheath? You probably could do that, but a lot of those take 2 pipes. So, and that would probably only fit one of them. Because they got a pipe for the intake and then a pipe for the exhaust. So there's two spots coming off, and it's bringing fresh air in and it's getting rid of the bad air. So might work to get you to the roof with one pipe, but the second one, you'll have to try and figure out another way.
Now, are the requirements for exhausting and intake the same?
Not necessarily, but usually kind of yes. So on the PVC ones, it's usually the same size pipe for each. It's like a 2 or 3 inch. And then the metal ones, sometimes they do both, where it's a pipe inside of a pipe.
Okay. I was actually talking about the turns.
Oh, the turns?
Yeah.
So yeah, the turns would affect each one the same way, but your intake is kind of sucking, air, so it's not going to be as stressed. It's pulling air in, so it won't be quite as stressed. But when it's trying to push air out, it will only push so hard. So that's the problem, is sometimes the air never makes it to the end of the pipe because it's not pushing the air hard enough. It's not blowing hard enough to get it to the other side.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you much.
All right. Well, good luck, Al. Good luck with getting that in. And I'm sure you could find a unit that would make that work for you. So, hey. Two great calls, two great questions right off the bat. We've got plenty to come for everybody out there. Again, 314-436-7900 is going to find me right here today. We got a full show for you. So let's take a quick break. More home improvement right after this. All right, here we go. Home improvement show, everybody. Like he said, Rich Orris here for you today. Anything you need. Already had a couple of really good, quick call in questions on some great topics we speak about quite often. So again, 314-436-7900, get you in here today. Hopefully you got some outdoor projects. Maybe you're milling around outside and getting fit in between the heat and during the cool down. I've heard a lot of them on the news talking about, like fall-like weather here. For just a few days, going to be getting hot again. So get out there and get it taken care of today, tomorrow. This is your time. And for Al, the other thing I'd kind of maybe discuss whenever I'm out and about, and I have somebody asking about the whole home water heaters, and just the quick instant on demand, a lot of the topics and what we speak about with that and a lot of the reasons I hear people leaning towards that is because really I hear two things the most, and one is you're not going to run out of hot water, and the other is it's going to be more energy efficient. And I kind of beg to differ with the energy efficient conversation sometimes, because it really depends on your lifestyle and what you're doing and how you're using your water. And so if you're a little bit older, maybe even retired, maybe you're a snowbird and you go to Florida, you have a place down there for a good part of the winter, or I got a good friend of mine that they basically have a camper. They go running around. They go to all sorts of different places. So when we had that rough winter with all the ice and everything that happened, I know how hot it's been. It's easy to forget that back in January, February, we had some snows and some ice that never seemed to go away. The most we've had in a while. And they were running all around the country. They were in Texas and Arizona. And so if you're doing something like that, then your water heater is never going to run while you're gone. And it's going to save you a lot, because your tanked water heater is going to be keeping that water hot the whole time. So every time it starts to cool down, it's going to run a little bit more to heat it back up. So that's where your energy efficiency really comes from with those units. Now imagine, like last night, me and my wife, we take our Friday night treat. We go to Andy's, we get some ice cream. We sit in the parking lot in the car, windows down. It was nice out, and we're watching this family, and the kids are running around and they got their ice cream, and they got into almost a school bus with probably six kids and two parents, five or six. And this vehicle, this SUV, was huge. Now imagine their use of hot water. You have everybody showering. You have everybody. That would cost them more to operate than the tanked, regular tank water heater in their gas bill to produce enough hot water to get through seven or eight showers a day, or what, you know, all that's happening. So that might not be the best recommendation for them. Now, if they can afford that and they go, well, our problem is we're doing seven, eight showers and we're running out of hot water, there's quicker recovery tanks. There's lots of ways to look at that. That system is going to be the best for the running out of hot water. And if they say, hey, it doesn't matter what my gas bill is, I want to never run out of hot water, then that's perfect unit for them. So there's different reasons to consider that in using a system like that. So do some research and answer those questions and ask good questions like that very well to make sure that you really are making the right decision, because you just kind of hear, oh yeah, it's more energy efficient. Well, that's just a statement. It's not analyzing how it's particularly used. So just food for thought, something to think about, and what we try and do, what I try and do here for you every Saturday, what I try and do all during the week working for Mosby and helping design and figure out and create great remodeling projects. We're talking constantly about these kinds of questions and concerns and thoughts on what can really help someone better than anything. How's it really going to affect you? How are you really going to use it? So looking at how we go through and figure all that out, we're a little more client-centric, a little more client-driven. When you're designing a kitchen, we're thinking a little bit less about the next people and what someone coming to buy this house later might really want, and focusing a little bit more on what do you do in your kitchen? Would you like to use it? What do you do for holidays? Do you bake? Do you stovetop cook? Are you 90% microwave? How do you get through everything that you do and really come up with and design a kitchen or a bathroom or something that works for the people, not necessarily quite as much the home and the resale value of the home and what might happen later? And we're definitely into good quality, lasting value. Try and make it go a full 10-year workmanship warranty on the products, meeting the workmanship as best we can. We're definitely focused on that and the longevity for that client, but a little bit less of what would the next person really want or really care, because that's a hard thing to know or understand. You may bake all the time and you may remodel your kitchen and design it to be a baker's kitchen for you and how that really works. And then the next person comes into the house, literally never bakes and could care less about double oven plus a microwave that also is a convection oven. So it's really focus on the home you're going to be in, the home you're going to stay in, and getting things for you a little more so than for the next person. Pick that water heater for you more so than the next person, because it's what you're going to do and it's how you're going to use it. So just a little helpful tip there. If you need any other helpful tips, you got anything going on this Saturday, we got plenty of show coming up for you. Again, you can find me 314-436-7900 right here, the Home Improvement Show, KMOX. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here again for everybody today, every Saturday, right here for you. You can find me. Get your tips. Get your questions answered. Anything out and about around your home, 314-436-7900. And speaking of that, we've got Ann on the line, has some plumbing questions, I think. Ann, what do we got going on?
Hi there. Thanks for your service to us all.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right. We had a plumber in all day Friday doing putting in a new comfort level toilet, and both sinks underneath the piping was leaking. They were original metal piping, et cetera. And so he did the sinks underneath both vanities and a couple of other things. So the water was turned off and on at least twice. He tried to work it so that we could have water for a certain amount of time during the day.
Sure.
What I discovered, however, is the toilet in the hallway was the one that was replaced with the comfort level, but the one in our master bathroom, and they are back to back, you know, is the regular toilet, had been flushing fine. When I went to use it in the evening and saw the water level had gone down, it didn't flush real good. So then now in the morning, I've flushed it twice, and it's just not flushing all the way, like completely emptying. And it's an older toilet. It has a full tank of water. Could turning the water off have affected that toilet in regards to flushing?
So I would say, I don't believe turning the water on and off would affect that as far as how it flushes.
Yes.
So, but I'm sure when the plumber was there on Friday, he flushed that toilet in that he put in the new comfort height one. He probably flushed that several times, just making sure it was working good.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, yeah, and flushing well, and he probably went down to the basement to make sure that he didn't see any leaks or anything happening from down there, made sure he had everything real good. And what I see that happens the most when you have those toilets back-to-back and you get a new toilet where you used to have the older toilets is the new toilets – they flush really hard with a lot of pressure.
I noticed that.
Yes, because they're using a lot less water to do it. So they're using a different type of flushing system, and they're flushing with a lot of pressure. And so what happens is downstairs in your plumbing drain pipes where those toilets are back-to-back, they come into the main stack like a T. So when you flush that hall bath toilet, it pushes air into the master bath older toilet, and that air can come through. And so that toilet will kind of semi-half flush from the bowl. And that's why when you go to the other toilet in the master bath in the old one and you open it up and you go, oh, wow, there's not as much water in the bowl as there used to be or as there normally is. It's because some of that has been sucked out and flushed down the drain. So my guess would be when you're flushing that and there's not enough water in the bowl, it's just not flushing like it used to because it's starting out with less water and then pushing water through. So, and this could happen in reverse. So if you change the toilet in the master bath to a newer one that flushes better, you could end up with the same problem on each of the toilets because now they're both flushing hard and the master will start sucking water out of the hall bath and vice versa. So probably what you're going to need to do is get that plumber back in. Mm-hmm. And he needs to rework the plumbing stack in the basement to make those toilets where the drains don't come in on a T. They come in separate, like one's on a T and one's on a Y, so that air doesn't push directly into the other pipe.
Okay.
You can research and you can even Google, like, a newer back-to-back toilet plumbing drain installation, and you'll probably find diagrams that show how to do this. You might even find some fittings. They make some new, like, T fittings that have, like, something inside the pipe that helps keep that from happening. But I don't really prefer that system because I don't know that they all work that well. And it's easy. It's better to just kind of completely separate them on that stack if you can.
So that's something he has to take apart, those pipes,
yep,
which is behind our furnace, and get cut them off and put new connections, basically, is what I'm understanding.
Yes. Yep.
They're all PVC.
Well, that's good. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful.
Can we, if we can live with this, is it doing any damage to either, here's my question, to either one of the toilets, or will it cause a backup in the main stack? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do, and I don't think it should really. I don't know how likely it is to cause a backup in the main stack.
Yeah.
I think once things are running through, it should be running through, and I don't know that would be much of a problem. The only harm it could really be doing in the master bath is if you ever start to notice a smell, because when that air pushes through, it'll kind of bubble that water, so air will come out of that toilet. If you ever start to get like a funny sewer gas smell in the master bathroom, it's probably that toilet doing that when the air comes through. And that can be kind of harmful. It's harmful to your health. It's not sulfur, and it's just bad air quality. I don't think it's catastrophic, but it's something to watch out for.
The smell be going in the master because it's the one that's getting sucked out of water?
Yep, because when you flush the hall, it's the one that's pushing the air into that master bath, the older toilet, or vice versa. I don't remember which one has the new toilet, but the new toilet will be fine because the old toilet, when you flush it, it doesn't force the air like the new one does.
Yeah.
That's why it's the old one having the problem, because the new one's pushing that air into the old toilet, and it's kind of taking some of the water away from the bowl. So when you flush, it's not flushing with the same amount of water that it used to. So it's still got the same amount of water in the tank, but not the bowl itself. And so, yeah, that's really the only harm it's really going to have. Now, if you get to a point where you do decide, like, okay, I'm going to have them fix this because I'm tired of it, even if you live with it for a year or two or so, I would suggest if they come in to fix that, just go ahead and maybe get a new comfort height toilet in the other bathroom at the same time, because they'll have to take your toilet out and put it back to do this plumbing work. So you're paying for the install of the toilet already. So adding the price of the new toilet to the job they're doing is probably less than just getting the toilet later on. So it'd be a good time to go ahead and change the second toilet when they fix that back-to-back plumbing drain issue for you. Or if you decide, I need a comfort height toilet in here, then have them fix that issue at the same time.
Because to get to some of that PVC down there, and that the toilet has to come off, and what about
correct
part of the floor need to be cut out? Or
No, the floor, everything else around the bathroom will be fine. They just have to disconnect the toilet from that pipe so they can cut that pipe out of there and run a new one.
And they do that from above, down?
They do it from in the below it. They do it from in the basement. Or is this on the first floor or the second floor? Is it a ranch or?
It's a, what you call it, split level.
Okay, yeah, because you said the stack is behind the furnace, so they can see and get to the stack. So then you're good. I mean, they'll just have to pull the toilet, run a bunch of new drain pipes, kind of rearrange how they connect together, and then reinstall or install a new toilet where that old one was. So, yep.
Okay, or, I mean, we want to live with it, keep adding water to the toilet in the master.
Yeah, add some water to the bowl in the master before you use it, and that could help too. So, yeah. Yep, a little bit of maintenance for you, but yeah, live with it and see how it goes, and then you can make that decision when you're ready. So, and I appreciate the call. I got to get to a break here for everybody. Thanks. You are very welcome, and again, something we deal with quite a bit in our daily bathroom remodels. We're kind of having these conversations up front a lot of times and looking for this when we're going to remodel a bathroom here at Mosby, because we're trying not to at least explain, set the right expectations, but not leave somebody with a situation like that where they're figuring that out later, if at all possible. If we can see it and know it and know what's going on, we'll try and handle that during the remodel. Just to give that option and let everybody know, and then set really great expectations for the project and why everything needs to happen. So something we talk about quite a bit. But, hey, I'm here. We got plenty of time for everybody, 314-436-7900. We're going to get into a quick break here. Gretchen, if you can hang on, we will get to you as soon as we return. More Home Improvement with Gretchen right after the break. All right, we're back. Home Improvement Show, and we got plenty of time, whole another hour for everybody. Cardinals, they're out in San Diego, so I don't think they play till after my bedtime or something. So we got plenty of time for you all day today, another hour of home improvement for you. Let's get over to Gretchen and see what's going on, as promised. Gretchen, how you doing?
Fine. I sent a picture of my downstairs steps. Did you get it, or I guess maybe you didn't?
No, I'm sorry, I did not see that,
okay.
But that's
okay. Anyway, my stepdaughters live there, and it came unglued. Half of the portion came unglued. She rolled it all the way down. I put it back, and I put containers on the side so she wouldn't slip going down the stairs. So it has to be clean. I want it re-glued. I think I should do that, because to put a brand new set of carpeting or just paint the steps, I think it'd be too expensive. Is this the right way to approach it?
Yeah, you definitely got to kind of watch. The only thing I would look for is the backing on that carpet, that when you re-glue it, it may not last as long as it did the first time.
It was put in the 80s.
Yeah. And so as it wears and that peels up,
there's a lot of debris under the carpeting. It has to be really cleaned.
Yep. You'll have to clean that real well, scrape it, maybe sand it, clean it up. You don't want any dust on there.
Hey, should I get a handyman or a carpeting company? Or, I mean, I'm not doing it myself. I'm 80 years old. I can't do that.
So it definitely could be a good task for a handyman.
Okay.
A carpeting company might really examine it and try and talk you into new carpeting, just because of when they put this carpet in the 80s, the backing was 100%, and you've probably lost half of that backing.
I bet it so is, because there's just, you know, a lot of debris. I tried to sweep it, and, you know, it has to be cleaned.
So it's going to half stick when you put new glue and you push that carpet and you glue it back down. You're going to only be sticking to maybe half the backing that used to be there. So it can be done. It just might not have the same lasting value. You may find out 2 or 3 years from now that carpet's coming back up again, and because your backing's wearing. And then as it comes back up, you're going to lose another 25% of that backing. Now you've got even less to glue to. So,
should I just... it's a cost thing. You know, I might sell the house as is because it would be cheaper for me. I'd get more money than spend a lot of money. Well, I'm not going to put new carpeting because I guess I would have them just paint the steps and put, I don't know what to do, you know.
Yeah, well, you might. I would, if you get into doing something other than re-glue down your existing carpet, your most cost-efficient method right now is going to be to try and re-glue that carpet.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
But if you get into something later, again, where you're like, I want to be cost-effective, but I need to do more, I would compare a new carpet to that painting and scraping and cleaning and painting, because labor's a lot, and you may find re-carpeting, gluing new carpet on those stairs might be cheaper than painting.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So I would find out what each costs first, and then you can make that decision. And if they're the same price, you go, well, I'll go ahead and go with the carpeting because people would probably like that better. And so, but it could be close to the same, or the painting could even end up costing more just because of labor.
Well, there's, you know, I might, you know, I'm in good health as far as I know, but things happen, you know, out of the blue when you get past 80, you know, whatever. But if anything, I would sell it as is. Then my stepdaughters would have to find a place to live. But, well, I think I just wanted to know if it would be a smart idea to try to re-glue it. I mean, the carpeting's fine. I mean, there aren't any tears. I mean, it looks pretty, and but it has to be clean properly. So probably I have a good handyman. A friend of mine has apartments, and they have little jobs that they have to have done, and she says that he would probably be able to do the job. And I wanted to be clear on what I should do. It has to be cleaned. The debris has to be removed. And as you say, the glue might we'll see. The girls were hauling stuff up and down the stairs, and that's probably what pulled the carpeting apart.
Yep, and that's where the carpet looks good on top, but the backing has pulled off on the back. So it's just a matter of how that glue sticks to how much of the backing. So, yep, clean it, sweep it, wipe it down. Make sure you're not putting glue on dust, and then reapply that carpet and keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully it'll last a while for you and work out for you. But, hey, Gretchen, we got to get into our break here. We got the news coming up. I appreciate the call. Great question. It's a common thing that we all come up against. We were talking stairs last week too. So we'll be back after the news break. More home improvement for everybody when we come back.